Good morning. How are you doing? Okay, let's try that again. One, two, three. Good morning. All right, cool. Thanks for coming today. I'm so glad that you're here today as we continue to explore this great topic of relationship. For the last few weeks, we have talked about loyalty, boundaries, empathy, and today we talk about forgiveness. I do have to be honest with you. This was a very difficult topic for me personally, because as I was putting the sermon together and talking to Carrie and even Kevin about this, I started to examine my own self and my own heart, and I made that prayer where I asked God, like, God, hey, take a look on the inside and see if there is anything there that needs to be changed. And I started to realize that there's a lot of people in my life that I still need to forgive. And I found myself praying the prayer, like, give me a new heart, clean hand, and a good heart, because I'm struggling with this topic of forgiveness. We all know that forgiveness does not come easy. It is a very difficult thing, and it is not the natural human reaction to when we get hurt. The natural reaction is to hold on and to resentment, and sometimes to try to get even. But I think that learning about forgiveness, it is the right thing to do. It is the healthier thing to do. But for me, most importantly, it's the biblical thing to do. When people hurt you, you ought to forgive. Jesus' teachings that we just read here in Matthew chapter 18, it really consistently points us to this idea and to this command of forgiving. We ought to forgive those who offended us. When Peter came to Jesus, and I think Peter was surprised by Jesus' response here. Peter comes to Jesus like, hey, Jesus, how many times should I forgive someone who hurt me? Seven times? That should be enough, shouldn't it? Someone hurt you once, twice, three times, you're like, okay, three times is a great number. So if it was seven, it's good enough, right? And Jesus turned to him like, no, buddy. Seven times, 70 times. The principle that Jesus is trying to institute and is trying to teach us through the scriptures is this, that you ought to be willing to forgive. And there is no limit. There is no how many times you should forgive. You should only forgive. We read that, and that's nice and dandy, right? It is the scripture, and we ought to obey. But then we get to real life, where we have this dichotomy in our minds, this division, where we say, well, it is biblical, but it don't really apply to my personal life. But reality is that the math is simple. You are forgiven, so you ought to forgive. I have a theme for you this morning, as always, and this is what I have for you. Forgiveness is a matter of the heart. And maybe the costliest gift to give, as well the most overwhelming one to receive. It is costly to forgive, and we'll explore more of this topic in a little bit with Carrie and Kevin, but it is also it's overwhelming to receive. Have you ever hurt somebody, and that person to which you hurt came to you and say, you are forgiven. I hold nothing against you. Loyalty says, I love you for your mess. Boundary says, I have learned from the hurts. Empathy says, I will not give in to the hurt. And forgiveness says, I will not be defined by the hurts. So many of us, we are allowing forgiveness, the lack of forgiveness to really the hurt, really to dictate who we are and to determine the outcomes of our lives. But reality is that God has instituted in His plan that we would be free from the hurts, that we would be free from those who have hurt us, and forgiveness allowed that freedom. Let me read you some Bible verses that really puts really straightforward what forgiveness is about, or our duty towards forgiveness. Micah chapter 7, verse 18 says this, who is a God like you who pardon, forgiving iniquity and passing over transgressions for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. Luke chapter 23, verse 34 tells us this. Jesus in the cross, in that journey, that very difficult journey of the cross, says this, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they cast lots and divide his garments. Jesus forgiving those who were offending him, even on their ignorance. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 14 tells us this. "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all this, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." Mark chapter 11, verses 24, 25 is one of my favorite ones because we use it often. But we just use one part of it and we forget the other part of it. So Mark 11, 24 and 25 says this, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and will be yours." We love that part, don't we? We a lot, like, you pray, claim it, brother, you get it. And I do believe that. I do believe that if you pray, God is gracious enough to give you whatever you ask according to his will. I do know he's a good father. He's not going to give you a snake, right? Isn't that what he tells us? He gives us what we need at the right time. Pray and you receive. God will give it to you. But he goes on. "And whenever you stand praying," so while you're still asking and praying, "forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also in heaven, who is in heaven, may forgive you in your trespasses." Now, that changes the whole thing, doesn't it? All right, we all like to pray and ask for stuff, but then left to pray and forgive somebody, that's a whole new level of things. I don't know if you struggle with that, I do. But reality is, the math is simple. You are forgiven, you forgive. Right? God forgave your debt, you ought to forgive those who have hurt you. You have hurt God, and you are forgiven by that. You ought to forgive those who have hurt you. Simple in the mind. Maybe even simple to get it from the mind to the heart. To the heart, right? But very difficult to see it come out in our hands. The biblical definition for forgiveness is this: ceasing to feel resentment for wrongs or offenses. To pardon involving restoration of broken relationship. In the New Testament, there is not one word that defines forgiveness. There's three different words that brings the concepts up to us. The first Greek word is charisomai, which means the forgiveness of sin. It is distinctly developed by Paul. It's a Paul word. Paul uses that in 2 Corinthians and Ephesians and Colossians. That's the word that he uses. And it really means to forgive wrongdoing, to let it go of wrongdoing. Another word that is used, especially in the Gospels, is the word ephes. Sin is a debt that is paid for it. Is put it away. It is no more. Someone is like having a credit card that somebody paid for you. It's gone. That's forgiveness on that word brings. And then the last one is paresis, which really comes down from the Old Testament, and is forgiveness is also treated as a remission, is a looking over, a passing over. You remember in the Old Testament, if you have some wrongs, you'd come and you put the hand on the top of the goat, and there would be a scapegoat, right? That's the same idea. You escape from it. Someone is overlooking the rebellion that was done, the hurt that was done. Which makes forgiveness uniquely a Christian doctrine. And the human pattern of forgiveness is a divine thing that is modeled by Jesus Christ himself to us. God expects us, the believers, to forgive others as he has forgiven us. So primarily is a God thing, and secondarily is a Christian thing. No other religions in the world carries on the concept of forgiveness. Do you know that? I don't know if you have thought of this, but no other religion has that. Think, for example, animism. There is no awareness of personal relationship with any God, leading hurtful actions to be avenged for. That's why you have voodoo out there. Voodoo comes from animism, this idea that you ought to pay back to people. So if somebody hurt you, you got a little doll and you start sticking needles on it. A great idea. I don't know who came up with that. It just doesn't work. It's not biblical. It is a world way of paying revenge. And Hinduism, you pay the consequences of the things you did on earth by karma and reincarnation. So therefore, you make sure you live life well here because you might come back as a mouse or whatever. You might come back depending on how good you lived your life. It's complicated. No forgiveness. Think about Buddhism. There is no concept of forgiveness in Buddhism. For the opposite of that, you ought to observe the wrongdoing and ignore it so that you can achieve nirvana, this energetic state of being. Think about Islam. There is no forgiveness there either. For the opposite of that, there is punishment for wrongdoing, hurtful actions. Not even Judaism has this complete idea of forgiveness. Forgiveness in Judaism is a limited experience. It is just an escape. You escape from the wrong that you have done. But in the New Testament, it's a completely different thing. God makes a commitment towards us. A commitment towards us to pardon us, to forgive us graciously, and to reconcile with us. Eliminated, in many cases, the consequences. I would like to invite Carrie and Kevin to come forward as we continue this conversation. For those who have come to Delaware Christian Church for the last few weeks, you are used to Carrie Hoover by now. She is a professional counselor, and she works for Cornerstone Family Services, and today we join with Kevin, her husband, I said in the first service, I said again, he's a lucky man, you know, God is really looking
down
for him.
I'm very lucky.
No, they're a great couple, and they have a lot of experience with forgiveness, and as I was putting this together, and I struggle a little bit because of the same reasons I have told you before, and I said, I'm going to rely on this, on them heavily, because God has really equipped them and guided them through the journey of forgiveness. And they have great stories, great experiences, and great insights to give us. And I'll just let you introduce yourself, Kevin, and then maybe the first remarks on forgiveness, and we'll carry on the conversation from there.
Okay, thank you. Yes, so my name is Kevin Hoover, and I am not a counselor. I am a banker, so please don't come see me for counseling advice.
We forgive you for that.
But forgiveness is just such an interesting topic for me. I really enjoy talking about it. I enjoy hearing people's stories of actively participating in forgiveness and seeking that. And it's just really a God. I firmly believe that it's a God-given tool. For us to experience true freedom. You know, if we think about it in the sense that without sin, there wouldn't necessarily need to be forgiveness. So forgiveness is there to help us to overcome the hurtful things that happen in our lives, the things that we don't understand, the things that we just can't simply have an answer to why they are done. We have forgiveness to help release us and free us from that.
Thank you. Carrie, any first insight on forgiveness?
Well, my insight is a lot more clinical, right? Mm-hmm. I go from that aspect of like, what steps do you take to actually get to forgiveness? And I appreciate you having Kevin up here because for at least in our family, he really is the spiritual lead in that, in actually exemplifying what forgiveness looks like and walking through that. For in my own personal life, he has shown me what that looks like and what that feels like in a spiritual sense. And so I think you can't, I think you need both,
yes.
You know, and really for me to be able to say these are the steps you take, but also to see it lived out is something that is incredibly healing as well.
In my on my researches and my study through this topic of forgiveness, I came through a article from Mayo Clinic, a very interesting article that talks about how forgiveness heals us. Mm-hmm. It brings different healings, right? So on a biblical aspect, there's spiritual healing that comes from forgiveness, right? God forgives us from our sins, therefore there's spiritual healings that comes from that. But it's much more, forgiveness is much more profound than just a spiritual, right? It's physical and emotional too. I remember reading there, I have a quote here, says, letting go of grudges and bitterness can make a way for compassion, kindness, and peace. Forgiveness can lead to healthier relationships, greater spiritual and psychological well-being, less anxiety, stress, and hostility, lower blood pressure, fewer symptoms of depression, low risk of alcohol and substance abuse. Talk to us a little bit about the power of forgiveness in healing us.
I think what a lot of times that I see and experience myself is that we think, well, I've got you to forgive, but I can go and have a relationship over here instead. And what we don't understand is that can't happen. That if I'm holding on anger over here, that it really makes it hard, nearly impossible for me to be authentic over here in this relationship. And it does have very physical effects on us, whether in that has even been shown to increase disease and whatnot in our life, let alone just our own attitude of how we go about things. You know, I think I think people can easily identify people that are not forgiving people. Mm-hmm. You see that kind of angry response or even bitterness. And a lot of times you may not understand it when you see it, but you feel it.
One of the things that we didn't talk in the first service, but I really need to bring it up here is this, like forgiveness heals us, doesn't heal the other person. I think a lot of things, sometimes we think about forgiveness is, I'm going to fix the person across the aisle, right? So like, especially in marriage, right? I forgive you, like I look at my wife, like I forgive you, so now I gotta change you, so let's get that changing. But reality is that you don't get to change the behavior of the words that the person has done against you. It is really about forgiveness, thinking really about healing you.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that goes right back to, forgiveness is a tool to heal us that God has given us. You mentioned the physical aspects of the benefits of forgiveness, and just recognizing that forgiveness doesn't release the person or the perpetrator from what they have done. It doesn't excuse their behavior. What it does is we just shift the judgment. We're not sitting in the judgment seat now. It's we're giving that over to God and putting that judgment in the proper authority, which is in God's hands.
I like that, and I think we can go to the next point here, which is like recognize that forgiving does not mean that injustice will go unpunished. Kevin, you're touching something that's important here. Like forgiving someone is really trusting that God will do what he needs to do with that person. Talk to us about this. Forgiveness and it is not condoning like the wrong that was doing, right?
Right. So, I mean, we need to, I think this goes back to all the way back to Adam and Eve, in that the original sin was eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and from that point in time, we've been cursed with this thought of I'm judge, I know what's right, I know what the way things should be, and we're not giving that over to God. So that's where we need to allow God that place, his proper authority, because he is perfectly just, even though we in our finite minds cannot understand why certain evils occur, certain natural disasters, just sad, hurtful things in people's lives. We can't fully understand that, but just allowing God to have his proper place and being judge is where we need to go.
I think that allows us a lot of freedom, just from having to be in that place of judgment, of having to be the person that's right all the time. I know
I like that place. Yeah. I'm always right.
It's a pretty big burden to bear, though, to always have to be right and always be the one who is making the right decisions. And I think the more we can move towards that idea that I'm capable, maybe you're just capable of doing things wrong, mm-hmm. but when you recognize that, it really helps you in that freedom of other people can do things wrong too, which leads you in that place of I can forgive that because I also want to be forgiven when I do.
Yes, this recognizing that you can't do wrong and that you need forgiving. So I think that's big in the journey that we talked about of forgiveness here. Kevin, you quoted this morning when we were talking, and I put it here in the sermon. It's like Romans 12, chapter 18 and 19 says this: if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, on us, live peaceably with all mankind. So the responsibility of living peaceably, of forgiving, is on me, is on us, not on the individual that we're dealing with. And I think that starts when you start to realize, man, I'm capable of making mistakes too. And there'll be time in my life that I need to be forgiven, so I need to release that. I like that. I love that. Talk to me about the importance of learning, about the importance of forgiving as the right thing to do. Why is forgiveness the right thing to do? I know we've been talking about the benefits of it here, but why is it the right thing to do?
You want to take that one?
Well, I mean, in the most practical sense, we're commanded to forgive, and so. Just in terms of what will, you know, qualify as, you know, the right thing to do, it's something that we're commanded to do. I think what makes it so hard is, I would venture to say everyone in this room understands that intellectually and says, okay, in my mind, I recognize that if I'm a child of God, I need to forgive. It's really getting down into the practical terms of being able to carry that out. And there are instances, and you know, I'm a living testimony of this, where I was in a place where I couldn't forgive. I just simply couldn't forgive another person. And I think, you know, if there's any of you out there that are in that position, what I would just recommend is that you confess that to God and just say, God, I hurt so deeply. I don't understand why this has happened. This is not your original design of how things should be, and I hurt, and I cannot forgive at this point. Teach me, give me the right heart so I can get to the point of forgiveness, and just eventually taking that first step and saying, I am choosing this day to forgive. That process could take days, weeks, months. It's a long process, but once you get to that point where you're saying, I'm choosing to forgive, that's the action that you talked about, and I'll hand it over to you in just a second. But that when you make that decision, then it's a journey to remind yourself, if I start being overcome with emotion of, did I truly forgive him? You can say, yes, I chose to forgive.
Well, and I think that goes to that idea of what is authentic relationship. We want to have authentic relationship with God just like we want to have it with the people that are right here in front of us. And that requires vulnerability to be able to say, I can't do this. I can't do this on my own. And that also forgiveness is not just a feeling. I can't wait around and wait till I feel like forgiving because it may not come. So to confess that to God, to confess that to someone else, like I need to want to do that. Mm-hmm. But then to make that step, and I think where a lot of times other people fall short in helping us to do that is they say, well, you should feel differently after that's over. And I don't think that you do. You're still going to be hurt. You're still going to be sad. There's still going to be grieving maybe that has to go on there. And it's really that forgiveness is a verb. It's an action that we're doing. And it is a one-time event where you make a choice, but then there's this process of forgiveness, and maybe we're having to do that 70 times, seven times. You know, depending on your situation, you know, a person that you have to forgive could keep repeating the offenses. They, you know, they could, it could be a very deep and wounded hurt that affects your whole life, you know, and that, I don't know that your feelings are necessarily gonna to follow that action. And I think you had said that in the first first service, is that you, part of forgiveness is giving up the hope of a better past, and that you really have to recognize that the past is going to remain the same, that story is going to be the same, but how are you going to let that affect you in the future? Who do you want to be? Do you want to become a person who is bitter or angry or just incapable of being in authentic relationship because you can't forgive?
Yeah, I think there's so much here that you guys brought up that I just, my mind's like, questions. Like, one of the things that we talked about, you're bringing up, is like, forgiveness is a journey. It's not a one-time event. The choice of saying, I am going to forgive you, that's one-time event. But then it is a journey of living with that person or dealing with that person until that person is forgiven, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, there is a journey that takes place. And I love that, because so many times we think of forgiveness like this. You did something wrong and I say, you're forgiven. But then I can see you ever again. I can see your face because my heart is just, like, going crazy, you know, and my feelings are, my feelings on my sleeves or whatever in my hands, you know, it's right there, you know. And so But no, if you start to understand that forgiveness is a process, I think that's helpful. And I think it's helpful is this. It's like, in the journey of forgiveness, we're alone all the time. We don't feel like we can ask God for help. We don't think we can ask people for help. So your advice here, Kevin, is saying like, hey, you know what? Bring God into the picture. Tell
Absolutely,
God,
yeah.
I can't do this by myself. I can't do this alone. I think that's great. So, you know, why can't we come to God with good requests like that? It's like, God, you know, this is open, this is authentic. Somebody hurt me, and I just can't let it go. I can't let go. That person, every time I see it, I just want to slap him or whatever, you know? So it's like, you know, help me through that. I think that's great.
What's really cool about that whole process, too, is that you begin experiencing God firsthand. It's no longer just reading scripture, singing songs, you know, coming to church. It is experiencing God because you're bringing Him into this, and you're allowing Him to guide you through this process.
I think it's allowing yourself that space to have those negative feelings. You know, I know we talked about that a little bit a few Sundays ago. Of we spend so much time avoiding negative feelings, and we think that's the right thing to do. But really, if you can sit in that space with God, who's going to love you unconditionally, you know, that's the beginning place for you to even feel forgiven or be able to forgive. But, you know, if that's hard for you to really find a trusted place to do that and let that out, sometimes you need confirmation that it's a legitimate hurt or that it's something that is really wrong and that has an impact on you. I think so many times we just want to go, it's okay, you know, just forgive and move on.
And that's, we talked about that earlier. Like, there is this idea in the church that you can't not express mm-hmm. your emotions. Like, mm-hmm. God has given us emotions, and it is, for me as a Brazilian, it's always out there. You know, I live on emotions. So it's like, and people are often condemned us or judging us for the emotions that we're living it on. And it's like, heck, God has given me that. Why can't I demonstrate in a safe place like the church? Why are we condemned all the time for negative or positive or really showing our emotions out there? Why is that?
You tell us.
Why?
You're the pastor.
I struggle with that, because I think if we're going to have authentic relationships with people, we ought to be able to demonstrate our emotions with people. And we see Jesus as an emotional guy throughout the whole New Testament. Yeah. Go read the book of mm-hmm. Mark. He was angry at times. Didn't sleep on his anger, but he went and kicked some tables and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So it is important for us to understand that emotions with self-control can be demonstrated. And we lose a lot when we are asked to avoid our emotions.
I think it stunts all of us, you know, just relationally, to be able to say, well, you can only feel this set of feelings. And so for us, you know, even to be able to forgive takes that empathy step of going, okay, well, what makes you that way, that you would be able to do that kind of hurt to me? You know, to really be able to say, you know, maybe you have some of the same things that have happened in your life, and you just portrayed it negatively or poorly. But if I can understand that, we're moving much closer to that place of authenticity and realness.
Kevin, you said a quote. So you said two quotes on the first service. Do you remember them now?
Two quotes. Unforgiveness was that one?
Drinking the poison.
Oh yes. Yeah. So yeah, we were talking about what forgiveness, trying to define forgiveness, because
I'll make that question. What is forgiveness? Define those for me.
Yeah. So it's really difficult because we can't see it. It's not tangible, like, you know, this piece of paper here, this table. It's heavily emotional, so it's hard for us to gauge whether we have, forgiven someone. And I like your definition that you gave, is ceasing resentment. So if you're ceasing to resent somebody for something that they have done, you're releasing them from that. You're not holding it against them. That is, conceptually, that's what we're talking about when we're talking about forgiveness. It also helps to understand what unforgiveness is. And two quotes that I like, and one I think Carrie had mentioned, is holding on to the hope of a better past. And when you think of unforgiveness like that, where you're trying to hold on to a better past and wishing that could have been different, it really, when you think about it, doesn't get you anywhere. You're just holding on to that, and you're allowing that to then define who you are. Another definition that I like, that's fairly common if you're a geek like me and read about forgiveness a lot, is that you're drinking poison and expecting someone else to die from it. That's what unforgiveness does. We're holding on to something and just with a death grip and not letting go. But once we release that, we can experience that freedom that God has intended for us.
Couple of questions here. What if the person I'm forgiving doesn't change? I'm dealing with this person, I'm forgiving it, and I'm in that process, and it starts happening over and over and over again. As a counselor, help us out. How do we deal with that?
Well, you know, that's my favorite subject, is boundaries. So, you know, that's where we aren't leaving behind what we know. So you take into account of what you know. I now know you're not trustworthy. I now know that you aren't safe to be with. And so we create, in a sense, these boundaries of physical, distance, emotional place where we change who we are. We don't expect the other person to change. And I don't want to become you either, you know, in my unforgiveness. So I don't want to become the person who trades gossip for gossip or hurt for hurt, right? I want to be the person who says, look, I know that about you, but that's not who I want to become. So what kind of space? And it will change, right? I have to change our relationship. And maybe there's some grieving that needs to go along with that and in that change. But if someone's going to continue to do the hurt, we have to be the one that does something different.
I like this a lot. And this, the boundaries transitions right into something that I struggled with for a long time. I always thought that forgiveness and reconciliation were the same thing, and they're not. They're two different things. Forgiveness is just simply releasing that person from what they've done. Reconciliation is a restoration of a relationship. And if the person continues to do what they do, we have to take appropriate steps to, you know, protect ourselves, especially if it's a harmful situation, and creating those boundaries. And I think that's something important to remember, is that we can forgive, but we don't necessarily have to be reconciled to that person. It's unfortunate that we're not, but there are certain situations where we just simply cannot be reconciled with another person.
That's great to clarify that, because so many times we feel like if I forgive someone, I need to be right beside that person again? And what if, you know, the hurt was so great that it was like it is harmful to be beside that person, so you got to create boundaries. I think it's great. One last one here as we finish. What if I'm the one who needs forgiveness? Let's talk about two things. The last two things here is like forgiving self. Forgiving myself for the things that I have done that hurt myself. And the other thing is forgiving God. One of the things that I learned lately is that the person that you blame is the person that you need to forgive. Even if the blame, it is a merit. So let's say I blame you for hurting me and you're like, I wasn't even there. So, you know, it's like, it's you who I need to forgive. So you need to forgive the person that you blame. And a lot of people blame God for the things that happen in their lives. Let's talk about the importance of forgiving selves and forgiving God.
You want to take it?
Yeah, well, I'll take the forgiving God aspect. It sounds strange when we say I need to forgive God because that presupposes that he has done something wrong and you know, like we talked about. God is absolutely sovereign and nothing can happen outside of his sovereignty. Where we struggle with is why certain things happen. Why are there certain hardships? Why didn't God change that? And that goes back to us being in the judgment seat and not allowing God to have that proper authority. But what we're essentially doing is we're blaming God for a wrong that has occurred. In reality, it's a result of sin. It was never his original design for certain things to happen, but because we live in this broken world, that's why bad things happen to people. And so we have this tendency to blame God, and what we need to do is get to a place where we can release that and say, God, I'm handing this over to you. I see that I've been blaming you. I've been holding you accountable for this. And I'm just simply going to trust in you. I want to put my trust in you.
I think when you're engaged in relationship, whether that be with God or other people, that you want to be able to express that, express how I'm feeling, express the truth and honesty that's behind that. And that same holds for yourself as well, to really go, you know, what is it about me that made me capable of doing something that needs forgiving? And that's such a huge part of it. You know, with God, you know, you can certainly read that in the Bible of who mm-hmm. he is and who his heart is, but also other fellow believers can help you do that, you know, and if it's yourself and you don't have people around you that can reflect and help you get to some truth, obviously a counselor can help you do that as well.
Yeah, and just to finish, I love Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25, 26, because Paul is trying to help us understand that when you don't forgive and you choose resentment and anger, it can destroy you. But not only that, it allows the enemy room to move in your life. This is what he says. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 and 26, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, in your anger. Not give place. Do not give place to the devil. And Paul was quoting from Psalm chapter 4, verse 4, where we read there, be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own heart and on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifice and put your trust in the Lord. It's really saying like, God, somebody hurt me and I am mad about it, but I'm not going to dwell on that. I'm going to let it go and I'm going to trust that you is going to do for me what I need done in this situation. That you're going to make it right at your time, the way you do it. And I'm not going to interfere on it. And I think that's why forgiveness is so important. It's because saying, God, I trust that you're just, that you're right, and that you're going to do what you need to do at the right time. And it's just about not allowing anger to control you and really to, you know, choose to forgive.
And it goes way back to when you were talking about loyalty, and trust is such a huge part of loyalty, is we can trust that God's going to do that. And that can hopefully give you rest in that ability to move on. If God, you've got that part, I can do the other part.
Amen. Thank you. One last comment, Kevin, anything?
Just real quick, we mentioned talking about forgiving ourselves and then, you know, forgiving God. You know, there's situations where we have done things where we feel a tremendous amount of remorse, and we may believe that God has forgiven us, but we haven't had the opportunity to forgive ourselves, and it's important to forgive ourselves, to allow ourselves that space to recognize that God has been gracious to us, so we need to let go of that as well and not hold on to that wrongdoing that, you know, maybe has occurred in the past.
Yeah, I love that. I think one of the biggest problems in the Christian faith is that we accept and receive God's forgiveness towards us, but we are not willing to forgive ourselves for the things we have done. And that goes back to recognize that you can make mistakes, and the mistakes can be costly at time and costly to you. So, but God, if God has forgiven you, why can't you forgive yourself for that, right? I think it's crucial to live in life and not allow your mistakes to define who you are. Let's pray.